Hello, this is Michelle Wilson. Welcome to your audio version of 30 Seconds to Calm, the brain secret to maximize your success in business and in life. Yay, I am so glad you've accepted this free gift. I am really passionate about this information and the rest of the tools in your Inner Oasis Starter Kit. I do hope you can start putting them to use quickly to start feeling more peaceful, productive, and prosperous at work and at home. And really that you will enjoy your life in a new and refreshing way. So calm may not be a word you associate with achieving success. You may think driven, yes, persistent, yes, perhaps even stressed out, but calm? However, knowing how to pause and access a calm state as needed is critical. You are going to discover how being calm can help you make smarter decisions, save you time, make and keep more money, and overall improve your quality of life and your ability to enjoy it. And you'll learn one of my favorite techniques for feeling calm in 30 seconds or less. Let's get right to the quick and easy steps to feel calm, and then I'll explain why I believe it is so important and how brain science explains it. One step in the 30 seconds to calm process is just to notice your breathing. Simply by becoming aware of how it feels to inhale and exhale, we'll start to slow down your breathing. Then you can practice breathing more deeply from your diaphragm or belly breathing to help your body relax. The breathing step can be done before or after the next technique, depending which one you find easier to get you started. The other technique I call the five senses scavenger hunt, which is a great way to shift to the present moment and a calm state. All you do is notice things with all five senses. Easy, right? Are you willing to try this now? Great, let's do it. Just notice five things around you. Pause and do this now if you can, and know that there is no right or wrong. Just notice what you see. Notice if you smell anything, and this may be neutral. Notice if you taste anything, this also may be neutral. Notice what you feel against your skin and your body. This may be something you seldom pay attention to as you routinely go about your day, but go through various parts of your body and just be aware. For example, your feet in your shoes, on the floor, your back against the chair, or the texture of your shirt on your arm. Now notice what you hear. Do you feel calmer? I've taught this to my kids as well because it's so easy, and yet it is profoundly effective even for people with PTSD or schizophrenia. So I know it can work for you. You just have to try it and use it. Even as a quick way to get focused before a task or while you're at a stoplight, just breathe and take a quick pause to notice your five senses. This is a great mind-body technique that can ground us in the present moment and in our bodies. I first heard about grounding techniques when I worked in a psychiatric hospital with some clients who would have traumatic flashbacks. They were experiencing another time and place, and we would bring them back to the present reality by having them become aware of their feet touching the floor, the sounds around them, and other grounding techniques. So what does grounding have to do with you and being calm? Well, when we're stressed, our thoughts are often in the past or the future. We may be going over and over a past event we wish would have happened differently, or we may be focused on the future with to-do lists or worries. When we can focus our thoughts on the present moment, it can be very calming. You may have heard suggestions to live in the moment, but perhaps you weren't sure exactly how to do that, or you thought you were. You may also have heard about mindfulness, which is being aware of the present moment without judgment. When we just notice our surroundings and what we're experiencing without judgment, we slow down and we're then in the moment. Let's talk about the science of calm and something you likely learned in middle school health class, the fight or flight response. Our bodies are truly amazing with their ability to cope with an emergency situation. You've probably heard the stories of amazing feats of strength done in rescue situations. If you had to lift a car off your grandfather when it collapsed as he was working under it, you may be able to. That's a true story, by the way. Or if you have to run outside to catch a child about to fall from a tree, you would get there in record time. Also a true story. Our bodies and brains work together so we have almost superhuman-like strength or speed when we need to get away from a predator or help ourselves or a loved one out of danger. The good news is those situations are few and far between. We aren't really running from lions, tigers, or bears. However, there are two problems with this system in our modern world. The bad news is our bodies do not know the difference between a real or imagined threat. For example, if you're panicked because you're stuck in traffic or you're worried all day about a looming deadline, your brain can send off an alert system. The sympathetic or stress response kicks in and your body is flooded with hormones like adrenaline and cortisol, which are not as useful if we don't actually have to run or fight in the face of danger. Over time, if our bodies are continually on alert with no physical outlet, it becomes damaging to our bodies with increased risk of many health problems, and chronic stress suppresses our immune system. The second problem with our emergency response when we don't really need it is that when the sympathetic system is activated, we are not using the part of our brain that is needed for higher level thinking and decision making. Instead, we're using our amygdala, sometimes referred to as our primitive or lizard brain. This is the part of our brain focused on survival. This is useful if we need to rely on quick reflexes to run away, fight, or even freeze if that is what it takes to survive. So, if you start the day hitting the ground rushing, you may be operating in the emergency mode for much of your day. When you keep yourself mentally stressing about everything on your to-do list, or putting out fires all day, so to speak, your brain is focused more on survival than your long-term goals. The brain and body systems are more complicated than I can explain in this report, but it is helpful to think about the amygdala hijacking the controls away from the executive functioning area of the brain when it senses danger and reacts. Now, for a quick caveat, whenever I talk about stress, I do point out that stress can be a good thing. We need some stress in our life, or we might just become a couch potato. Think of a muscle that is stressed and becomes stronger. We do grow and accomplish things with some degree of stress. Picture a bell curve on a graph with stress on one side and performance on the other. There is an optimal level of stress which can keep us motivated. But beyond that, our performance suffers. Bottom line, some stress is okay, but not chronic stress that feels like the fight, flight, or freeze type. Got it? Think about your typical day. How much of the time do you feel stressed? Consider how you may be reacting to your stress by fighting, fleeing, or freezing. An example of the flight part may be that you are fleeing from an uncomfortable task to something that feels better in the moment, like munching on a snack or distracting yourself on Facebook. Perhaps when you're stressed, you are more irritable and the fight response comes out too easily when you snap at a loved one and then feel guilty later. Perhaps you even freeze and tend to procrastinate on projects and find yourself feeling stuck and paralyzed with overwhelm. When we feel stressed out, overwhelmed, or anxious, it is in our nature to escape to what feels good in the moment. Our primitive brain wants what feels relieving and safe right now. So that may show itself with various compulsive behaviors, such as eating more than we need, like stress snacking on and off all day, shopping to feel better and spending more than we have, or self-medicating with smoking, drinking, or anything that takes the edge off, but avoids truly dealing with the issue at hand. So what is the solution? Herbert Benson, researcher, professor at Harvard Medical School, and founder of the Mind-Body Medical Institute, discovered that we can shut off the fight-or-flight response by activating the relaxation response. This involves the parasympathetic nervous system, which works to return our body to a calmer, non-emergency state. When we are calm, we can access the prefrontal cortex. That is the part of our brain that involves complex decision-making. It's considered to be the area for executive functioning and enables us to plan ahead and create strategies, and also to adjust actions or reactions in changing situations. Additionally, it helps us to focus our thoughts, which help us pay attention, learn, and concentrate on goals. When we use the prefrontal cortex, if we are not in a fight, flight, or freeze mode, we are better able to delay gratification and make decisions in line with our goals and values. For example, perhaps you had a goal to lose weight. You felt determined that losing some weight would help improve your quality of life, energy, and health. And yet, in a stressful moment, you impulsively turn to food to feel better. Once your brain and body learn that food helps soothe you in a time of stress, you can form neural pathways in your brain so that it becomes an automatic reaction and habit. In order to change a habit or behavior that is sabotaging your goals, you first need to step back, be aware, and step out of anxiety and stress in order to think clearly enough to consider other options. If you just take a moment to pause and use techniques to calm the body and brain, you will be better equipped to walk away from temptations that sabotage your goals. Whether you have a history of finding yourself in the pantry without consciously choosing to, or coming home with clothes you really don't need to buy, or you procrastinated on a work-related task that cost you time and money, there are ways to get back on track. So, how do we turn off the stress sympathetic response and activate the peaceful or parasympathetic response? I find that it's easy to remember which is which if you think of the S for stress and the P for peace. The first, easiest, fastest way is by breathing. Now that may sound too easy, but truly, all the best research says that by slowing down and deepening our breathing, we literally send a message to our brain that this is not an emergency. Our brain gets the message and can stop sending the red alert out to the body. I find that many busy women feel an almost constant low-lying anxiety. This may feel like restlessness, fatigue, irritability, or other uncomfortable experiences. You may not even be aware of the stress response going on in your body because it has become so familiar. In fact, you may find that when you think about relaxing, sitting still, or taking time for self-care, your body and brain may resist letting your guard down, since it has gotten so used to being on high alert. So if you are honest with yourself, are there times that your stress has an impact on your health, your finances, or your relationship? Without beating yourself up, because we all have that survival lizard brain that kicks in sometimes, just become more aware about how you may have reacted to stress in a way that may have worked against your goals. Whether those goals are to be a good role model for your kids and not yell in anger, to stay on top of your business billing without procrastinating, making sales calls without avoiding them, or dealing with clutter so you don't have late fees or lost opportunities, pausing for moments of calm and clarity can make all the difference. If you find yourself in any of the previous examples, or you spend, eat, drink, or otherwise soothe beyond what is helpful, I encourage you to set aside some reminders throughout the day to take a moment for calm. It only takes 30 seconds or less, but could have a profound effect on your productivity and your success with your goals. Learning to practice mindfulness more often, again, that's being aware of the present moment without judgment, can help us be more engaged in our lives and truly can improve the quality of our lives. This special report gives you some tools for lasting change, but I know you may want more. So you'll receive more tips and tools in your inbox, and don't forget to read through the 21-day jumpstart. The last entry has my latest favorite quick tip with a profound impact. Beyond those resources, I welcome the opportunity to speak with you personally. I've been working with stressed out, busy, success-driven women for more than 20 years, And in my own life and the lives of my clients, I found there are ways to have success without sacrificing our health, our sanity, or our relationships. My expertise is in belief and behavior change and making it easy so you can feel great about your work and your home life, whatever ideally that would look like in your life now. If you're feeling stuck and are sacrificing parts of your life for your work success or sabotaging yourself from getting to the next level of success with any goal, I offer a complimentary clarity breakthrough phone session for 60 minutes. I want to hear what's been working or not working in your life, and then I'll help you gain clarity about what is keeping you stressed out or stuck and help you find a plan to move forward so you can have the peace and the success you've been craving. So you can go ahead and email me at michelle@inneroasiscoaching.com, and I'd be happy to send you an application questionnaire, or just keep an eye out for invitations in your email, and we'll find a time that works for both of us, okay? I look forward to staying connected with you. Have a great day. Take care.